Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you here this morning. Let us worship God together. Greatest our God and greatly to be praised, honor and majesty belong to Him, strength and beauty belong to Him as well. Let us worship Him together. Let's join together in standing and singing hymn number 458, This Is My Father's Word.
The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and
and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and in the life everlasting. Amen. First scripture lesson comes from Matthew, the 6th chapter. Today we are focusing on the topic of prayer, and this is an encounter between Jesus and the disciples, in which Jesus, after the disciples asked him about prayer. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue or on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when we pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they are heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. Amen. As we come to God in prayer this morning, let us remember those folks who are listed there in the bulletin. They include Lorraine Mitchell, Eleanor Kish, Brandon Cale, and Mary Miller. I would like to add to that list, which is upgraded in the bulletin, Pam Hooper, who is our church custodian and who has been dealing with a lot of severe pain. If you see Pam in here on Fridays when she's sweeping the sanctuary and picking up the things from the wastebasket, you'll find she's having a really, really hard time getting along. She's been in the emergency room, she's tried various medications, and she's not getting better. So let's remember Pam, who faithfully serves this church and the Lord. Let's pray for that. Yes, Lord, indeed, this is your world. How often we forget that. How often we forget that you are the Lord of heaven and earth. How often we forget that it is you, Lord, who created us and who breathed life in us. It is you, Lord, who provides for our daily lives, food to eat and shelter in which to live. How often we forget, Lord, that this indeed is your world, and we are your people. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us, for all the ways in which you bless us day in and day out. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your loving care. Lord, we remember and we pray for these people that we have mentioned. We pray for Lorraine and Eleanor. We pray for Brandon and Mary and for Pam. We pray, Lord, that you would touch each of their lives, that you would heal their illnesses, that you would give them strength to deal with those things that they need to deal with, that you would give them a strong faith and the kind of faith that brings peace even in the midst of illness or pain. Lord, bring healing to their lives and restore them to wholeness again. Lord, there are always others that we know of and others in our families and in our relationships and in our neighbors and in our friends who are also ill. Lord, hear us as we pause briefly to silently bring their names before you as well. Lord, we know that you hear and that you answer prayers. Be kind and gracious to those whose names we have brought before you. Bring healing and wholeness to their lives. Lord, we come to this service of worship from our homes. We come to this service of worship and we bring with us all of those things that are important to us. We bring those things that give us joy, and we bring those things that make us sad. We bring those things that excite us, and we bring those things that are worrying us. Lord, hear us as we speak to you in silence about those things that are concerning us most. And now hear us, Lord, as we pray together the prayer that Jesus prayed with his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and has nothing, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children are with me. We're in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him bread because he is a friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." Amen. I really know of no other religious topic about which there is more confusion than the topic of prayer. I know of no other religious practice about which there are more misconceptions than the practice of prayer. If you ask any Christian if they believe in prayer, you'll be hard-pressed to find anyone who will admit to not believing in its power and its importance in the Christian life. But ask that same group of Christians if they pray on a regular basis, and you'll see a lot of embarrassed red faces, and you'll hear a lot of stammering and stuttering. Prayer is amongst the most misunderstood. Prayer is amongst the most misused. And prayer is amongst the most abused practices in the Christian life. Prayer is so simple that somehow we want to complicate it. Prayer is so available to us that somehow we're determined to ignore it. And prayer is so important that often we trivialize it. It is fundamental, it is so fundamental to the Christian life that sometimes we stray away from it. Prayer is used for everything. Prayer is literally used for everything. To pass a test or to cure an illness. Prayer is used to get a job or to heal a relationship. Prayer is used to win a football game or to help make a marriage better. Prayer is sometimes used to try to hit the lottery or try to survive a disaster. You get what I mean? Prayer is amongst the most misused and abused practices in the Christian life. It was a blistering hot day. The house was full of guests, and things were not going well in the kitchen. Finally, the hostess had everyone seated at the dinner table, and she said to her 7-year-old daughter, "Now, will you please say grace for us?" God your mother. Just say the last prayer you heard me pray. The little girl paused for a moment to think. Then immediately she bowed her head and prayed, "Oh Lord, why did I invite all of these people to dinner on such a hot day?" If you're like this little girl and don't quite know what to say or how to pray, do not be too embarrassed, for you're not alone. Even the disciples of Jesus, who had left all that they had, who had followed Jesus all over the place, were somewhat confused about prayer. Indeed, in the scripture lesson this morning, we hear them saying to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray." In the opening lines of a book, which is entitled Too Busy Not to Pray, author and pastor Bill Hybels writes the following. He says, prayer is an unnatural activity. Because from birth we learn the rules of self-reliance and struggle to achieve self-sufficiency. Prayer is alien to our proud human nature. To people in the fast lane determined to make it on their own, prayer is an embarrassing interruption, and yet probably all of us reach a point of falling on our knees, fixing our attention on God, and praying. At its most basic level, prayer is simply what one of the children said this morning. Conversation with God. At its most basic level, it is simply conversation with God. And like all good conversation, prayer involves both speaking and listening. Speaking and listening. In the scripture lesson this morning, we hear the disciples say to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." In those five words are hints about how we can pray from time to time. Those five words are words that all of us can find ourselves saying from time to time. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. I don't know about you. I can only speak for myself. But there are times in my own personal life that God seems so close to me that I can almost reach out and touch him. There are times when I experience the presence of God so clearly and so as surely and as clearly as I'm experiencing all of your presence right now. But there are also times, there also have been times in my life when I pray to God and I experience nothing. Times when God seems so distant that nothing that I could do, nothing that I could say would seem to reach him. It was like standing on a seashore and shouting out into the ocean and hearing nothing coming back to me. At such times, I usually have found that there's something amiss in my own life. Something's wrong on how I'm thinking, or maybe there's something wrong in how I'm acting or what I'm doing, or maybe there's something wrong in how I'm praying or what I'm praying for. Lord, teach us to pray. What I've learned is that there is no secret formula to communicating with God. Jesus didn't give us a list of 10 steps to pray, but rather he gave us hints. He gave us hints in the things that he said, and actually in the things that he did in his earthly life and ministry. Heavenly Father. One such teaching amongst many is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Here Jesus says, when you pray, go away by yourself, close the door behind you, and pray to your Father. Go away by yourself, close the door behind you, and pray to your Heavenly Father. There are a couple of teachings in that passage worth our thinking about together. First, when you pray, go away by yourself. When you pray, go away by yourself. Jesus seems to say, both by his words and in his deeds, by his words and his action during his ministry, that real prayer, the kind of prayer that builds us up spiritually, the kind of prayer that gives us strength to get through life's ups and downs, that kind of prayer is perhaps done best alone. Time and time again, it says in the gospel that when life got hectic for Jesus, when he was almost overcome by the demands of life, it says that he went away to a lonely place to pray. Time and time again, it says that he left that hectic lifestyle and he was brought to a lonely place to talk with his Heavenly Father, to be strengthened and be renewed. We too need time alone with our Heavenly Father. Time when we can be ourselves with God. When we can express to our Creator our deepest needs, our deepest emotions, our deepest hurts, and our deepest personal feelings. As children need time alone with their parents, so too we need time alone to converse with our Creator. If you want meaningful prayer life, if you want prayer to be meaningful to you, then set time aside and a place aside where each day you get alone with God. The second part of this passage says, shut the door behind you. Shut the door behind you. In other words, close out all noise, close out all distractions, close out all outside racket so that you can focus your thoughts on God. No TV, no music. Put the cell phone away or turn it off. No other people around, just you and your Heavenly Father in relative silence. Like any other conversation, you can't have conversation with God with a whole bunch of racket around. Dr. Jan Lin has been leading silent prayer retreats for some time, where people went all weekend without speaking. You can imagine that. My guess is you could probably do that out at the monastery if you talk to a brother. Here's what she wrote as a result of her experience. She said, as long as we talk, we do not hear God, and we do not hear anyone else. Think about that. When we talk, we set the agenda. We talk to stay in control. On the other hand, when we remain silent in conversation with someone else talking, we allow that person to control. Silent prayer is a time when we give up control and allow the Spirit of God to be in control. For us to wait before God in silence is to affirm that God is in control. For us to wait before God in silence is to affirm that God is in control. Jesus said, get alone and get silent. Finally, Jesus said, pray to your Heavenly Father. What he meant by that is, he meant that our conversations should be intimate. They should be honest prayers. They should be heart-to-heart prayers. The kind of prayer that you have with your father and mother when you're a child, or intimate personal prayer like you might have with your spouse or with your closest of friends today. In that book that I mentioned earlier, Too Busy Not to Pray by Bill Hybels, Bill Hybels gives an example of this kind of intimate conversation with God. He writes the following. He says, several years ago, my father, still a relatively young man and extremely active, died of a heart attack. As I drove home to Michigan, I wondered how I would continue to function without this person who believed in me more than anyone else. How my life would go on. That night, I wrestled with God in intimate conversation. Why did this happen? How could I put this all together in my mind? If God really loved me, how can he do this to me? I asked. Suddenly, in the midst of the night, things changed. It was as if I had turned a corner, faced in a new direction. In the midst of my loss, in the midst of my anger, in the midst of my sadness and grief, God seemed to be saying to me, I am able, and I will see you through. Right now you doubt me, but trust me, for now, for now. Bill Hybels continues, the experience sounds unreal, but the results were unmistakable. After that tear-filled night, I was never tortured by doubt again. Grief, yes. His death wounded me deeply, and I will always miss him. But in the midst of the darkest night of my life, that intimate, very personal conversation with God gave me courage and hope. Lord, teach us to pray. The disciples said to Jesus. And Jesus said, get alone. Get quiet. And talk with your Heavenly Father. Martin Luther said that it is good to let prayer be the first business of the morning and the last business of the evening. Get alone. Get quiet. And talk with your Heavenly Father. Thank you. simply sorting food if you can be there to eat first. Now let us go out of the world at peace, and may the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always.